Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The world is a great big Jaffa cake. Some people don't like it, others do. Either way, it's okay. All you've got to say is not today. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you? Is that? No. Okay, fine. Good morning. How are you? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Sometimes, you know, a sort of an idea burrows its way into your head and everything else sort of just falls out. That happens to me quite a lot. It probably makes me quite tedious to live with. But I had this sort of idea for a theme tune for a late 60s, early 70s kind of sitcom. And just a terrible idea. It would have a woman starring, like she would be the central role, and she'd be called like June or Kathy or Angie or something like that. And it would just be really depressing. You'd just be watching her going around this sort of horrible drudge and kind of indentured servitude to the patriarchy. But it would be always billed as being a funny sitcom, and I could hear the theme tune and I sort of had to just make it, and it's really awful. It's like a really awful thing. And so just imagine the opening titles with her sort of crossing the road in a headscarf with that kind of 60s eyeliner and a string bag and a faux fur jacket that looks like it's made of roadkill, and she'll never get top billing, let alone have the show named after her. And it's supposed to be a comedy, but it's just achingly depressing. Here it is. You're welcome.
Time now for Laughs Galore, starring Leslie Boffin as Stanley, in our situational comedy, Takes One to Know One.
When will she learn not to expect so much? She's got some learning to do. Like a little girl, making so much fuss. Life's a box for you to crawl into.
Watch it, Joan. Half a dozen sausages, please. How's the old man?
Oh, same as usual. Lazy old layabout.
I don't know how you put up with him.
Have to, I suppose.
Here, have a couple of kidneys on me.
Thanks, Rog.
That's all right, June. Mind how you go.
Laughs galore. Sorry about that. There's various things that we need to get through. Heady has emailed saying, I'm tired of people putting creatures into things. What are you talking about, Heady? So, well, I heard the following this week on Radio 4. Can of worms, kettle of fish, cat out of the bag. What do you idiots expect, that the creatures will stay inside? Stop putting creatures inside things. Then made an addendum on Twitter saying, hyenas in bathtubs is fine. Just to make that clear, hyenas in bathtubs, no problem with it. What things do you like putting animals into? And what animals? And why? Don't know if you need to. Fine. I've got some really exciting news that I'm saving up for the end of the podcast. It's really exciting. But first, some other news. No, this is exciting too. Band news. We're forming a band. So the idea is that you're going to record your little part at home and I'll stitch it all together here. I'll send you a piece of music and some dots if you'd rather play off of, you know, a manuscript. 23 people have signed up so far. One third of them want to have some kind of annotated and music. You don't have to be able to play an instrument. I think two thirds do. Ollie's got a blue one. It's a guitar. Duncan's bought a new one. We just need something old and something borrowed, and we can all get married like they do in Korea. Glenn has signed up. He says, done. I'm assuming that you're okay with me hiding next to the drummer, just playing root notes. It's kind of my thing. Hashtag bass. Yes, that's absolutely fine, Glenn. And Gemma has signed up saying, I can whistle. Failing that, I can be Bez. Yeah, we need a Bez. We need loads of Bezes. What's the collective noun for a Bez? An eye roll of Bezes? I don't know. I worked with him once. He was really nice. Like, really, really, really nice. This was on Nevermind the Buzzcocks. Just utterly charming. And got through the recording and it was all great. Because people had been a bit nervous, you know. They'd heard stories. It was just great. And then he went back to his hotel room and absolutely trashed it. Pablo has signed up saying, when I say that I can play the nose flute, I mean that I have access to one. And I have a nose. That's fine. That's all we need. Ollie says, done. I'm not confident enough to play the guitar, but I can sing. That's fine. I'm sure you'd be fine on the guitar. If I just give you one note to play, just literally one twang, that would probably do it. So do join up. I will retweet the Google form, which I've finally actually made accessible. I'll put it on facebook.com/nottodaypod and twitter.com/nottodaypod. And you can sign up if you're up for it. Should be a laugh. James, this has got a long tail, this one. Yes, on foods that go with chocolate. James, are you keeping up with this podcast? Actually, he wrote a really lovely review of it online, so I have no beef with James. I'm vegan, I wouldn't have any anyway. Anyway, on foods that go with chocolate, if it's chocolate spread on bread, peanut butter, yes. Banana, yes. Marmalade, in principle, yes. Tastes awful. Marmite, God, no! It's a good summary, James. Thank you. Also, kind of apropos of nothing. Well, I saw an article this morning. It was Test Daily talking about life in lockdown with Vernon Kay, and you know, and how that was. Apropos of nothing, who would be your absolute worst isolation partner? Don't know. Do let me know. At Not Today Pod, or you can email nottoday@swanburst.com. Who would be wouldn't he? Previously, Pablo just said on the live stream, the crankies. Yeah, you may have a point there. Depends how tired they are. We were talking about bad films and 90s films and children's films that were just actually really traumatizing and all the rest of it. Lindsay Hellcat Press has been in touch saying, my husband and I found ourselves talking about the teen movies of the late 90s, early 2000s. The teen movies of the late 90s, early 2000s fit into four main categories. High school Shakespeare adaptations, high school horror films, superhero movies, and parody movies. High school Shakespeare adaptations were just adaptations of classic Shakespeare plays set in American high schools, grades 9 to 12. After Baz Luhrmann's wildly popular Romeo and Juliet, oh yes, we all sat through that, didn't we? We were treated to a wave of Shakespeare set in public high school. 10 Things That I Hate About You, She's the Man, Oh, Get Over It, Romeo Must Die. I remember seeing 10 Things I Hate About You, and I remember disliking it. I didn't see any of those, and I had no idea those were Shakespeare things. Absolutely bypassed me. Then we had high school horror films. After the success of Scream, we were treated to a slew of imitators like I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty, Teaching Mrs. Tingle. That's not a thing, is it? Disturbing Behaviour, Cursed, and Jeepers Creepers. All of these movies were set in public high school and starred older actors who actually looked like teenagers for the most part. These movies were trying to be hardcore horror films like Scream. God, I was so horrible. I got drunk with some friends, I remember, and we went to Leicester Square and we were like, let's go to the cinema. And the only thing that was on was Scream or Scream 2 or something. And I watched it. It was so stressful. And there sort of comes a point in it where, you know, like the guy's running around chasing the young woman and you reach a point, which is awful, where you kind of think, oh, just do it. I can't take this anymore. If you're going to do it, just do it. So horrible. Ugh. Anyway, they were trying to be hardcore, but they were watered down significantly to get the PG-13 rating to appeal to a younger audience. The weirdest of the bunch was probably The Faculty, wherein a Breakfast Club-style assortment of kids, the jock, the druggie, the goth chick, the new girl, the nerd, the token black kid, etc., thwart an alien invasion with, I kid you not, homemade angel dust. As in, like, PCP. That's mad. The invading aliens who are taking over need water to survive, and the drugs dry out their human host body sinuses too much, or something like that. The evil queen alien is stabbed in the eye with a pen full of drugs before being crushed by the bleachers in the gymnasium. It's insane. Yeah, but great message, guys. Don't do drugs, kids. Okay? We also had superhero movies. Joel Schumacher was in the process of running the Batman franchise into the ground. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe was gaining footing with the original Spider-Man trilogy. Daredevil. Do you remember how excited we were? Oh, Spider-Man, that's exciting.
25 years later, can we stop superhero films now? Bye!
Daredevil, The Incredible Hulk, and the two Fantastic Four movies. I think that makes Fantastic Eight. You'd have to check with David Ault. Out of all of those, only the Spider-Man ones were any good. Then we had a wave of parody movies inspired by the success of Scary Movie. All of them were lazy and just regurgitated jokes from the films that they were mocking. They were also fairly racist, homophobic, ableist, and sexist. Yes. Although I do remember liking Not Another Teen Movie when I saw it. I'm afraid to go back and rewatch it because I know it won't have aged well. Yet very few films have aged well. Once again, my daughter does not get to watch any of these movies except maybe Spider-Man. Lindsay, thank you very much for that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Very few films have aged appropriately. Age appropriate. And Neil on this topic says, hi, Jake. Cheesy and bad movies we really love, did you say? Yes, this was us moving it on a little bit to talk about what are bad films that you love or what are good films that you hate. He says, well, there's nothing better than Biggles from 1986. It stars a lovely version of Grand Moff Tarkin and two other guys that will be remembered from nothing at all. The only other person that you'll recognise is the waitress from Hello, Hello that left to go on Howard's Way. Are you keeping up with this? No, not at all. Well, these two blokes travel in time, and Flying Ace Biggles takes a modern, for 1986, chopper back with him and blows up a German sound weapon. Surprisingly, it didn't do that well. Oh, God, I want to watch that. Biggles is named after Biggleswade, where I used to live. Yeah, there's not a lot going on there. Next time, Neil says, we'll discuss how Condor Man, oh, wow, is a metaphor for the way political and religious melancholy contradicts. Or Michael Crawford's American accent. Take a pick. Thanks for everything, Neil. Yes, Michael Crawford. What an extraordinary career. You know, first he was just bumbling around with Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, which was great. And then the next thing you knew, he was doing a residency in Vegas, doing a show called EFX, and was very, very depressed. He did Barnum. I saw him. It was amazing. Ruby on Twitter. Good morning, Ruby. Or hello, Mum. It says, dreadful films, popular and loved by buffs, American Beauty or Crouching Tiger, Springy Thingy. Yes, I didn't see Crouching Tiger, Springy Thingy. I did see American Beauty and I have very little time for that film. Very little time indeed. Right, let's have a go at Top Trumps. Top Trumps! And today, we have two of our listeners. Pablo is going up against Vegetectus. Let's go through Pablo's stats then. Strength, easygoing, to the point of potentially undiagnosed medical disorder. Hey, Pablo, can we do some vivisection on you? Yeah, sure. Height, 1.8 Warwick Davis's. Agility, 2, without alcohol. 8.5 when inebriated. Talent, nose flautist. Well, we've heard that. It's pretty amazing. And his saying is, "How do?" Right, we're going up against Vegetectors. What do we choose? I'm gonna go for. You gotta respect the agility there. 8.5 inebriated. That's got to be a strong. Let's go with agility up against Vegetectors. Then strength up to 40% proof. Then falls over. Height can get to over 15 feet tall when aroused. Wow, glad we didn't choose that. Agility, very good at going under, but rubbish at going over. Ah, I think we've won that one, Duncan. Sorry, mate. Talent, can do Rubik's Cube. What? Amazing. I can make a sound like an owl or a wood pigeon, and I can juggle three balls. Oh, that's epic. Best saying, more balls, please. I think Pablo's had that one. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Duncan. We'll do another round of that tomorrow. Okay, I promised you exciting news, and exciting news I have for you. I've had an email from Jem. Yes, Jem, the show mascot. It says, "Morning, Jake. Excitingly, the prototype version of Spot the Rock is ready. Oh my God. I just recorded a couple of voice parts for it to test if I can make it work. I'm not suggesting these stay in the final version. And there's a link to play Spot the Rock. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Plenty of polish to be applied. Oh, I don't know about that, Jem. But I think it's functionally what it should be. Obviously, there'll be a menu, a better loading screen, as with more voice files, it'll take a good deal longer to load. Better scaling to different devices. Oh my God, Jem, the work you're doing. Looks okay on a laptop and my Android phone. Rachel's iPhone, not so much. And I reckon I can make a button at the end to post to Twitter, providing the player has signed into Twitter on their device. Oh my God, Jem! It's surprisingly little code. So like the brain of my neighbour who plays. So if you haven't heard it, this is, I have this theory that my neighbour, who's this Romanian guy who looks like he works illegally on building sites under horrendous conditions, and he's all bashed up, and he plays this game that goes ba-ding, ba-ding, every few seconds. And I think it's a game called Spot the Rock, where there's like two pictures. Which one's the rock? Just tap on it. You chose eel. You chose apricots, etc. And Jem has very kindly actually agreed to make the game Spot the Rock, and he's done it! Anyway, he says there's plenty of ways to change it around, but at least I've proved to myself that I'm still capable of some techie web stuff, and it's been quite fun. Jem, what a curious idea of fun you have. Jem, this is awesome! I'm so excited! I'm going to have a go on it in a minute. That's right, that's it for the day. I shall be playing Spot the Rock, just like my neighbour. Oh, wow. Okay, well, we'll need to sort that out. Owen's going to record the voice. I've got the music. I'll do some sound effects. That's the rest of the week sorted out, isn't it? Thanks very much for your company. Thanks very much for listening. Really appreciate it. I'm sorry about the weird, depressing sitcom. I'll try and do something more topical. There's just no news, is there? There's no news. I mean, nothing's happening in Yemen, is there? Oh, right. Oh, okay. Oh, right. Oh, well, that's right. Right. That's an awful note to end the podcast on. Sorry. Bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.